You want me to call Carla in Florida?
We're going to have some remedial training before the meeting starts.
I'd be afraid to do that if I were you.
When you talk, it starts.
You just laugh at us.
It's going. Oh, it's going. Never mind.
Okay. Right. Oh, so she's going to hear that?
Let her rip.
She's going to hear that. Sorry, Carla.
All right.
Well, good evening. How about a flag salute?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And may I have a roll call, Madam? I mean, Mr. Stand-in Clerk.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Here.
Mr. Kochanowski?
Here.
Mr. Millay?
Here.
Mayor Higgins?
Here.
Council President McTiernan?
Present.
All right, we have a quorum. And our first action is the oath of office to Sergeant Anthes. So, Jesse, I trust you have the oath of office for
me. It should be in your packet.
I
have one, though.
Okay.
I have one, though.
Carla gave it to you, so you'll
okay,
lose.
Here you go.
We have a Bible.
We have a Bible here.
It's usually over here.
I think it's on the chest.
No? There we go. There we go. I had lots of time to sit in there and look at it the other night. You've got to help. Left hand. And raise the right hand.
There we go. Okay, this is the other office.
Hi, Lawrence Anthes. Hi, Lawrence Anthes.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the government established in the United States and in this state.
And
to the government.
And to the government.
Established in the United States.
And established in the United States and in this state.
Under the authority of the people.
Under the authority of the people.
And I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform.
And I will faithfully, and justly, and partially perform.
All the duties of acting sergeant.
All the duties of acting sergeant.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thanks.
Would you like to come up and we'll get the whole family?
Yeah.
There we got a light agenda.
This is probably the mayor.
And do you want Lieutenant Elski in the picture?
Right.
Yeah, hold up.
Here. Yeah,
I certainly don't.
I was in the other one.
Well, it's going to be awkward.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Take good care of them now.
I know.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is police evening. Our next item is a proclamation to honor Paul Bate.
He's looking too relaxed.
He's always relaxed. Okay, whereas as of July 1st, 2018, Patrolman Paul Bate will resign his position with the Clinton Township Police Department, having served 23 years with honor and distinction. And whereas Patrolman Paul Bate graduated from North Hunterdon High School in 1976, Patrolman Paul Bate began working as a special police officer for the Highbridge Police Department in 1985. He then joined the Hunterdon County Sheriff's Department in 1993, where he served as the agency's K-9 officer. And whereas in 1995, Patrolman Bate joined Clinton Township Police Department. He served as patrol squad leader and a detective while with the Clinton Police Department. During his tenure, he received several commendations as a Clinton Township police officer. And whereas in 2000, Charlman Bate was conducting business checks in the middle of the night when he interrupted a burglary in progress at the BMW dealership on Route 22, leading to the arrests of two burglars. Also in May 2000, Patrolman Bate was checking Clinton Ford dealership, formerly on Route 31 near Halstead Street, when he observed a vehicle and occupants acting suspiciously in the area. A subsequent investigation led to the seizure of 50 pounds of marijuana and the arrest of a fugitive wanted by the FBI for drug trafficking. And whereas in October 2002, Patrolman Bate was commended for his role in the investigation of an armed robbery and first-degree aggravated assault with a weapon, resulting in the arrest of several subjects that occurred at the Amoco service station on Route 31 south of Halstead. And whereas in August 2011, Detective Bate was commended for conducting an investigation that led to the arrests of two subjects who were committing vehicle burglaries. And whereas Patrolman Bate has been married for 40 years to his wife, Mary, and has a daughter, Holly, and a son, Corey. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the Township of Clinton County of Huntington, State of New Jersey, that Patrolman Paul Bate is officially recognized and honored for his dedication and service to the citizens and taxpayers of the Township of Clinton. And be it further resolved that we wish Patrolman Paul Bate success and the very best of health in his future endeavors. This resolution is hereby presented to Patrolman Bate at the scheduled council meeting on June 27th. 2018, and shall become part of the official meeting minutes. So that.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
One more. Close. Good.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to adjourn quickly as the council and convene as the Board of Health to treat a septic repair, replacement, alteration kind of thing at Block 91, Lot 4, 57 Lilac Drive. Frequent appearer is here to tell us about this repair.
Back again. So for the record, I am Kurt Hoffman, Kurt Hoffman Engineering. I am the engineer that designed the system here at 57 Lilac Drive, Block 91, Lot 4. We're here this evening asking for one waiver, and I think the second comment in the letter from Huntington County Health is more an acknowledgement than anything, and I'll give my take on that as well. So was hired by the current homeowners to design a septic system for this lot they had recently purchased. Septic failed home inspection, needs to be replaced. In doing so, we're also expanding the system from the two-bedroom to the four-bedroom. The septic system is 100% conforming to state septic code. It does not conform to your code of being 100 feet from a quote-unquote waterway. Now, this waterway is deemed a waterway, I guess, because it's a pipe. But it's a drainage pipe that goes under the driveways of our driveway going from one side of the property to the other. It doesn't necessarily convey water other than during a storm event. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's a roadside ditch that's got a pipe in it. So we're asking for a waiver from your ordinance, Clinton Township ordinance, from the 100 down to 51 is what we have out there, which does conform to the state code. So that's number one. Then number two, the letter from the state or from the county, is addressing that as part of this application, the well location on the property would not accommodate 100 feet from the well. So there is luckily public water in the front of this lot that we can tie into. We've looked into that. That is doable, and we're pursuing that. as part of this application as well. But the homeowner would like to keep the existing well that's on the property, which during my investigation with this is 100% legit. That Calus Well and Pump up in Washington made calls to DEP. DEP tells them there is zero distance requirement between an irrigation well and a septic system. There's no distance, can be zero, which is what we want to classify this as. So the acknowledgement by this board is that there are three stipulations that the county put out, that the licensed well driller will need to classify the well with DEP as irrigation only, that the well line hooked up to the house will be need to be disconnected and basically only a single outlet that's got signage and all that other type of stuff, and then last but not least, plumbing permits and all that taken out with the town as part of that. So if any one of those three cannot be met or can't be done, they have to seal the well. Obviously, it wouldn't meet it. We acknowledge that. County acknowledges that. I guess we're just looking for your acknowledgement.
Okay.
So we're asking for the waiver for the distance to the drainage along the river.
That's why we're talking about this. I was talking to our administrator the other day, and we, although we like these get-togethers as the Board of Health, we have enough of them where we've, I hate to say rubber-stamped, but where we've agreed, you know, if it meets the state code, we have no issue with it. So odds are we will be asking council to change our ordinance and move it up to the state stipulation. We did that with the property line setback thing, which caused a whole lot of appearances on the part of engineers, a lot of associated expense to our taxpayers.
I think that was the thought process behind the whole change in process, just to get an idea of what kind of things regularly come before the board and make it maybe a little bit more difficult for the homeowner than they really need to be.
Right.
And I think this seems like one.
Yeah. Agreed. And in alteration situations, I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. If new construction, you guys hang on to those, absolutely, and I agree with that as well, because now you're in a situation where you've got a clean slate.
Yeah.
This, we're dealing with the cards we're dealt, and it is what it is. Yeah.
Right. So that comes down to wording that when we change it, or alterations.
Exactly.
Otherwise, we could open ourselves up to something we don't want with new construction.
Yes, sir.
But given the conditions, I think this one's pretty straightforward, and I will make a motion to grant the waivers requested subject to the conditions outlined in the letter from the Board of Health related to the irrigation well.
Thank you.
Amy seconded.
Yeah.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Good to go.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We didn't need a roll call vote for that.
We need a roll call.
Do we?
Let's do it just in case.
Oh,
all right,
we can do it.
Just in case.
Councilman Swoodley?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Millay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes.
Thank you again.
You're doubly approved.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, we're up to the consent agenda. These are minor items which may be approved together with one motion and vote. And it's the usual sort of things. Premium refund on lien redemptions and the refund of the tax overpayment. Any questions or discussion?
No.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Money.
Wait.
Money.
Yeah.
Councilwoman Swidley?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Millay?
Yes.
Council President Tiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. We're up to our first comment period. I see two members of the public here, Mr. Yeager and Mrs. Yeager.
If you're here for the ordinance, maybe hold it for the ordinance.
Well, I have comments. I'll hold it for the second public comment on a different item.
Oh, sure.
Oh, okay.
I'll do the ordinance first. We'll talk about the ordinance first, then I'll reserve some time for the second public comment.
All right. So we will move on to reports.
I have nothing to report since 2 weeks ago. It's pretty slow in my neck of the woods, my liaisonships.
Summer. Mine are fairly slow as well, but I will report that the Ad Hoc Railroad Committee did meet last week. I think we had a pretty good initial meeting, laid out some obstacles, I think, that we have to try to overcome and some information we need to try to gather. But I think it was a very good meeting, and it looks like we have some very good contacts in Branchburg. So.
And I've been negligent.
More later.
I need to ask Jesse if he would contact the good folks in Branchburg, where the residents worked together with the township using really their money to generate a quiet section of the railroad.
Got it.
And There's a police sergeant there. I'll give you the contacts and the information. And we thought if we could copy the way they're approaching it, the way they approached it rather successfully, where...
Beautiful.
You know,
and the thought process was to look at the two on the Lehigh line, which are Kosciuszko and the state or the rail line indicates that there are four total rail crossings in Clinton Township. There are really only three, mm-hmm. because the one in Lansdowne is actually located in Franklin Township. So I think our scope is not quite as large as we may have thought it.
Yeah. So, it may be doable, and one of the key things for us to understand is what is the ongoing cost, you know, really, if anything, to the township or the residents? How does that work?
Yeah, I can get that.
Okay. And I'd like to tag along and chat with these folks.
Oh, you want me to go down there?
Well, yeah.
I was going to call them and get the emails and get all their documents.
Well, we can...
If you want to go for a road trip, we can.
Yeah, I think it'd be good if we can to do a sit-down face-to-face and, you know, really understand what they went through. Sometimes those kinds of conversations are better than...
Okay.
The logistics of how to handle donations, because I think the township still has to make the application for the grant money and for the quiet zone itself. So how we handle funds in and out, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the sort of rough understanding is that any continuing cost would have to be sort of de minimis or quite reasonable, and we would also have to be successful
with the grant.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Ripley.
Okay. Historic, we didn't meet last month in June, lack of quorum, and this month it's 4th of July, so we're not going to do that either. So it's August that we're going to have our next one. Jesse might be able to tell you a little bit more about this, but we have an aggressive Windy Acres demolition type schedule. I got Phil sent me over the schedule. So emergency permit for temporary bridge you have in June. July you have the prepared demolition plan and specifications. So I have it here if anybody wants to see it, but, it is aggressive, and it's good.
This is demolition of the old...
Everything but the house.
But the one house.
Yeah, the whole
and
store.
Please, that pool.
The pool's going, yeah.
Do us a favor, if you would. We should share this schedule with both Open Space and Environmental.
This one?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just so they know. They've got a good sense of what's going on. Nobody's surprised.
That's an excellent point. Yes.
Right now we're getting quotes for the temporary bridge slash hopefully permanent bridge. and we're going back and forth with who's delivering and putting it in and placing it. So the last time we did this, it was the environmental company did all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the information from them. But now the engineer and I are going through to actually plan it out. So it's in the works.
All right. Yeah, that's great. It can all happen this summer.
The idea is to get in there and start the cleanup this summer, absolutely.
Yeah, that's terrific.
The Beaverbrook, they're pulling some artifacts, interested parties before the bulldozers get in there. They had the fitness station opening on June 18th. It was just like 100 degrees, but everyone came out anyway. Thank you for coming and doing that nice art.
But everybody left before we got back from our tour. Where is everybody?
We were melting.
Yeah.
it was successful, and I'm hearing a lot of positive things from the residents. Mentioned before, I have a councilwoman, Switlick Page, open to the public. Mm-hmm. I also, Councilwoman Switlick manages the trail project and the dog park project. So people have been updating us as far as those fitness stations go, posting things with their kids on the station. So
nice,
it's just really, really happy about how that went. And the DPW was just, tight time frame, and they pulled it off. And then we got a tour of each station after you left, probably. And I had Crystal Solutions set up a little video compilation with Hunter and Healthcare logo and everything. So if you get a chance, check it out. It's nice. It did a really nice job.
At the planning board on Monday, a developer came to make a presentation. And one of the highlights of the presentation was talking about how they were going to use the trails and the exercise stations to help sell their development.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It was nice. They're very complimentary.
Sorry, did you not see the sarcasm?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So The only thing about the fitness trails, people are asking, well, where can I park? We've always said North Hunterdon, and now the school's out, there's plenty of parking. So they're afraid because it's dangerous going down Regional Road, which I get. They don't want to park there. I want to tell them to park in that grassy area because that's where I park, but I'm afraid if I say that they're going to get a parking ticket. So
I got a plan for the parking lot in the works.
You know,
October at the outside.
As I said, we don't park on the grass, but what if they get a ticket and I told them to park there?
I think that the long term is we're working on a solution.
Yeah.
I have the estimate for a little parking lot there. Yeah. I got today, so we'll get that in for the fall.
Gravel and move on.
How big do we think we need?
Six to eight cars.
Six to eight.
That's all we can fit.
Yeah. It can't be too crazy.
Limited 2 hours, or else we get a ticket because we don't want the kids.
2 hours?
There, you know, that's plenty of time to walk 3 miles.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a wheelchair.
Well, okay.
We got to limit it, or else the kids will take over. The high school kids will be parking there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and football games and So we'll just have to monitor that, I guess. The dog park. You had the well come last. Was it last week?
Well's in.
So we're going to have a water supply.
Our guys are going to put in the line from the well to. We ordered the shed for the water tank and the pump. You can see where that is. It's next to the. Mm-hmm. So we'll put that in, and then the well guy will come back and put the two lines in, one up to the dog park and one under the parking lot into the garden. That'll be in a couple weeks.
That's one of the reasons why you mentioned we got to really put it there, because of the water supply. Yeah. It's not required, but it's nice to have it for the animals plus the gardens. And the only complaint I have with this is, why don't we have a garbage can there? And we're just not going to put one there.
It attracts vermin.
It's because of the garden and the beehives, and there's garbage cans at the end of Bond.
Yep.
You can throw it out there. So that's really not
And someone stole your sign.
Somebody stole a sign.
What sign?
The poop sign.
Oh, I put another one up. I got some really good glue this time. Yeah, I replaced it.
It was a cute sign. I could see why somebody wanted it.
It's not advertising.
Yeah, right? Everybody's on vacation. I'm always going to listen to me. Okay. The North had their meeting on June 19th. It was like about an hour and a half long. Nothing really substantial. I guess there is an election coming up. I had to do the research on who is actually up for expiring 2018. Masters, Milik, Alfravato, and Ron Vianoni. Those are going up for election. So July 30th is the deadline for that. The normal public comment and the typical issues that have been going on lately. It seems to be dying down, and I'm very happy about that. There was a little discussion after their executive, about the Class 3 officers, and there was just discussion on it. I'll leave it at that. But it was quite a lengthy conversation, but I'm really looking forward to them starting. In August, they're going to start, is it?
That's the plan.
Yeah. Both North and August, so.
If we can get them one time, certainly.
Oh, that'd be great.
But the good news is, I guess they liked our proposal.
They did.
And they could use that as a model, our agreement.
And another thing is, I mean, just the one mention of the conversation that took a while was, you guys, I know from correspondence from you and North, that you guys have been working on this with Kearns and doing a really thorough job. So, I don't know, I think this should be...
We're about there. Yeah, we're about ready to go.
So, that's nice.
Not only locally, but statewide.
Right.
And I don't think anything that we're going to do is going to differ from what any other municipality is going to do. We've been in touch. We've had meetings with Mr. Bender and Mr. Burgess and Mr. Perry, the security supervisor, and that's why it's taken a little bit of time, because we're trying to do everything correctly and follow the law. But I got a call from Mr. Burgess 2 days ago and basically said, you know, we're very happy with everything. I guess there was a loan of opposition to it at the school board meeting, which is fine, but it sounds like everyone else was fully in agreement with it. And as we've talked about here before, this can not only be a good thing for the school, but it could be a good thing in general if it works out right. I mean, it's a big if, but it really can be a positive for everyone involved. So I'm certainly excited about it. That was really cool.
And Trishka has our draft to look at, you know, the agreement, and if that's good, we'll do that and an enabling ordinance next meeting, because we have to have an ordinance for the Class 3 officers. So that'll be on the agenda in time for an August startup. And that's the timeline. And then they have to get trained and all that other stuff. But the school's aware that they'll come in dribs and drabs, but we'll be full force by the fall. We'll be up and running.
Well, as a council person, I know what all the work has been done, and I'm 100% confident this is going to work out. And also, as a parent, I'm very excited to know that my daughter will have that extra security. One less thing to worry about, right? I think that's it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Do you want to do planning board?
You're more than capable.
All right. Open space has been active. There's two resolutions on tonight that formalize lawn or trail mowing and pruning and that sort of stuff that neighbors have been doing informally at a couple of our locations over the years. Jess has formalized it. They've got insurance now, so we're not, sort of subject to liability if something happens. I'm trying to think. We've had a few meetings with the folks in Reddington. We're trying to coordinate. Reddington is really, I think, a pioneer in open space land preservation activities and techniques and how to get funding for same. So Rich Shaw chairs that committee, and we've met a number of times with their open space folks to start talking about ways the two towns can work together, since we have a large border, common border, and trails. There's a lot of potential for trails that would cross the common border at a couple of points. So nothing really imminent in terms of acquisitions or that sort of thing, but we're learning to work together, and we're learning a lot from the good folks in Reddington. On the planning board side, on Monday night, in a long hearing, and it was just not, there was no opposition at the hearing, it was just a long hearing because the applicant put on seven experts and for an 84-unit affordable housing project, 100%. To be built on a six-acre portion of the Marukian tract on Route 31. That was accorded preliminary approval, which is required for them to apply for financing. The deadline for that is July 24. The expected award date for that financing is in the fall. It's October, November, kind of a time frame. So that was really that, together with some actions that the council took at the last meeting, were really all of the precursor activities that would enable this company, Pearl, to make the application for financing and take, you know, next steps for toward the actual construction of the project. Lots of things that need to be perfected when they return for final, but it was they did a very professional job, I think. And
for a group putting together a presentation in less than 1 month, that was outstanding. That was one of the smoothest presentations I've seen in 2.5 years. And it was only a preliminary. There are, as you mentioned, many things that have yet to be tightened up and wrapped up. But it was a good job. It fits into the, I think, the area well, or as well as can be expected for what we want to accomplish in there, and preserves as much of the woodland as is possible while utilizing the best of the 6 acres. And I also like the idea that open space is going to go in there and clean out some of the garbage that's in that woodland, the vines and, I guess, the poison oak ivy and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And some of the trees that really need to be taken care of one way or the other.
But it looks like as good a facility, I'm one of those people, I don't like the idea of people cramming things down my throat, which the state Supreme Court has. But it looks like it's going to be a fantastic facility that's there. Anyone that's in a retirement consideration should be considering that place, because it is just going to be beautiful for folks to retire at, nice and removed from the main thoroughfares, other homes. It's out of the way and has this beautiful hiking, walking, exercise path out there, too, that's over 3 miles long.
Well, and
that's the Clinton Township.
Yeah.
Taxpayers saved many years.
We are also obligated to build a handicapped accessible playground, a substantial one for the Agreement Fair Share Housing Center. So I think we'll end up using the boulevard entrance to this development has the entrance to that sort of project that they're building. And we just have to figure out the best place to locate it, and you know, what sort of a gravel lot we might have to support this playground, but could also support the trails, because it would be kind of at the midpoint of the trail system. So hopefully this will all mesh nicely together, and we'll have to sit down with Amy and at some point and figure out how this is going to lay out. But I'm optimistic it's going to be a nice place for us all.
That's concerned walking into it too, what was going to be the access point to this. Mm-hmm. And that flag lot entrance, it's really going to be right next to All Trades. At the borderline on the Marukian side, between the Calfelt and the Marukian properties, really is just a great idea. It gives good egress and access midpoint on 31, which would allow people to get in there nice and smoothly and get out nice and smoothly.
Yeah, also about 500 feet from the nearest residence, so it's, it doesn't, you know, really disturb currently built and occupied neighborhoods. So hopefully this will come along smoothly. Hopefully we will get the advantageous financing. We are a 94-point project out of 95 points, and we have some good tiebreakers for this. So fingers are crossed on it. And the planning board also, I guess, approved a small item for Exxon, improved employee access, you know, another gate. Better technology.
And I understand a coming attraction is the old municipal building?
If they'd be complete for a few weeks, and I'm anxious to get that. Hopefully, it would
be nice to see it.
Yeah.
Would
be on the next agenda?
Pardon me?
On the next agenda?
It should be.
We hope.
You know, I haven't seen an official agenda yet. Denise, our planning board secretary, had a kind of a throat problem infection. She was out yesterday. I don't know if she's
yeah,
in
she's probably out till next week.
Yeah, she sounded awful, so I didn't have a chance to ask her. But yeah, I'm optimistic it'll be on the next agenda. That's it for me.
Quick update on the Clinton Township Board of Education. The same dates are three seats that are up. Same dates applies for the regional school board. But there's also a vacant seat right now that is open between now and the end of the year. They're accepting applications for now. The way that would work is that the person would come, or persons would come, make a presentation to the Board of Education. The board would make a selection. That person would be then selected to be on the board, and they would be in that position through the end of the year, and then eligible for running in the November election for a completion of that seat, which I believe has 2 years to finish its term.
What's the deadline to get in? If there are any interested persons.
I believe the deadline's the 30th of this month.
I was going to say, it's probably a week away.
So. Yeah, they wanted it in as soon as possible to get that to the board members. Their next meeting, the date I didn't bring with me, but it will be, I think, mid-July. I'm not sure of the date. And that's when most probably they would make their selection. Now, they also had a lot of discussion on updating is what they're doing on I hesitate to say closing a school, because you're really not closing the building, but you're closing the building as part of the school system and moving it outside of the system. So they're still preparing for the transition on that. They've got a transition manager now, which is one of their principals who's retiring at the end of the year. And they seem to be moving well on that. I've got my fingers crossed. But it's created and will continue to create a lot of controversy as they go through their contract negotiations, which are still in the arbitration. That's it.
Mr. Allen? A
couple quick things. We had a fire last weekend. A barn burned down. It was total loss. No injuries or loss of life. And apparently our detective and our fire official were there. Didn't look like anything suspicious. It was just a fire. It was too bad. There was a lot of property damage and whatnot, but nobody was hurt. The other thing with the fire, I went out with our deputy fire official to inspect the warehouse. There used to be KB Toys.
Oh, yeah.
That thing is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's massive, 750,000 square feet. We went through several hours and identified all the things that were need improvement. But Steve and I, our fire official, talked afterwards. We'd like to get a tour again for fire, police, rescue to go through with a blueprint, basically, to show where all the exits are, the fire sprinkler heads, the the piping for the hookups for hoses, some of which were blocked, to get through, because unless you've been in there, you have no idea. It's 40 feet high, and there's like one of them is all carpet, rolled up carpets. I mean, you know, that, if that lights up, you'll see it from Philadelphia. And so I think that was a good inspection of pointing that out, because he did a very thorough job. But also, we really need to get down there with our fire folk and make sure they know what's happening. If there is an incident, you know, if anybody's in there, how do you get them out? I mean, some of the basic things that, you know, they don't have an evacuation plan, you know, or an attendance roster. Okay, we have, there are several entities in there, you know, different companies. So if there is a fire, how do they all know who's out and if there's anybody still inside? And the manager was all agreeable to doing all this. So I think it was productive. And like I said, our fire folks are doing a great job. And bottom line, they're really detailed. And I think we'll be in a better place in a year or two when everything gets caught up. Yeah. So
what Burrows is always part of that building.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, we just started that.
That section.
Yeah.
What are they distributing? Because if I was a fireman, I'd like to know what's in
the
inside.
One is carpets and you know, you buy furniture, you put it together at home. So they got all these carpets and furniture. It's like, this is Home Depot's, this is, you know, Lowe's, this is whoever. They just put the stickers on. It's huge.
Long Island-based housewares.
Yeah.
So they're numerous. They change month to month.
Oh, yeah, and there's numerous facilities.
It'll be combustibles.
Yeah, and then the other is food, lots of food. And then, you know, but they have like things like bleach and other, you know, things
chemicals.
Like that. So, but, I mean, they have golf carts in there to get around. That's how big it is.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, it was a good inspection. Our guys are doing a good job. And, you know, if you haven't, you ever want, if they have that tour, you should go on it just to see what's in there. It's, you can't see it from the road. I mean, it's massive.
How does it compare to New York Life for X-Men's?
Much bigger. Area-wise, 750,000 square feet.
The old KB police?
Yeah.
The old
building? Yeah.
Exxon is actually a little bit bigger. Exxon is 840 or 50 in there.
But that's spread out a little more.
Yeah.
And this is one. This is one huge building.
One level. And this is all on one level.
Yeah. One level.
Level. So.
And you said they have a manager, but they don't have.
The owner of the property, you know, has the rent. They're all rentals. The other entities are rentals. So they're in charge of all this.
Okay. So there wouldn't be then one person with the security. Different
edit. Well, and that's the other thing. There, you know, who's got the fire evacuation plan? Who's got the headcount plan? Right. That's what we're talking about. They've all got to have it, as you know.
Yes.
You know, and we've got to make sure if there's an issue, or if the firemen go in, we got to make sure they all come out. And some of the stuff that the burn load is incredible. I mean, a warehouse full of carpet. Think about it.
They have in-rack sprinklers.
There are sprinklers in the ceilings, and there are two pipes for the hookups internal.
Yeah.
You know, of course.
Sometimes
you know,
require in rack.
No, didn't have those.
On the shelves. But,
yeah. But again, they have to be there. The fire extinguishers have to be checked, and you have to be accessible.
You know, another comparator in terms of buildings, Exxon, I believe, is the second largest ratable in the county. It's our largest ratable. This warehouse is our second largest ratable, followed by New York Life.
And like I said, in the front, there's a, you know, on the county road, you have fire hydrants. Well, there's a metal access plate that you can go in and with the controls. We couldn't open it. So I don't know what the problem was there, but it was like wedged shut or something. And that's a problem.
And then it butts right up against Charlotte on
yes.
the side.
Yes.
A lot of residents.
Correct. So, but they'll get, I'm sure they'll get it. We'll be back for a reinspection.
Okay.
So I have.
Okay. Real quick, a couple different issues. I didn't anticipate one of them. As an academic, I want to take 30 seconds to point out to you. You met two of your local police officers here tonight. I can't, obviously I'm biased, but I can't say enough about both of them. They're two really good guys. The interesting thing is that they both have gotten to the same point from completely different ways. Mm-hmm. They're two completely different people, whereas Paul Bate represents the traditional method of police work, and always very stoic. I worked a lot of midnight shifts with Paul Bate, and I would see him at 5 in the morning shining his spotlight on, you know, businesses. And as the mayor's proclamation kind of underscored, many times he came upon crime just by going out there and doing his job and being out there every single day. I don't think the guy ever had a cup of coffee in his life. I find it interesting that then you meet Larry Yankee, who is like a new age police officer to the max. He's someone who will sit in front of his keyboard and dial in the different search engines and different investigative tools, and the drones are flying. And he's like Q from the old James Bond. You know, and unfortunately for him, he knows everything there is to know about computers and electronics. So he gets a phone call. The guy like me who has his flip phone with him and has never had a Facebook page. Anything wrong, I just dial Larry 3-digit extension, and I know everyone else does the same thing. So I just really wanted to point out that two really effective police officers, two different personality types, and two different models of law enforcement and patrol, but both, I give you my word, very, very effective police officers. So I just wanted to point that out. The other issue is we had our municipal detention facility inspection the other day. It was the same gentleman who was here a couple of years ago. Mr. Mayor, I believe you were copied on the report.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the phone today with the head of Ronan Securities, who conducts the inspections. I was on the phone with the deputy commissioner of corrections, who's ultimately responsible, just getting any clarification for anything we need to do. It's all very simple. We did it 2 years ago. I handled it 2 years ago. There's a couple of different minor issues, that none of which are a problem. Just to give you one example, we don't have a Sally Port.
Mm-hmm.
And we always request and are granted an exemption for the Sally Port, because this is an office building, really. It's not a jail. And that really is what leads to a little bit of confusion or translation. A lot of times people assume that there are jails or lockups inside of the police department, and they're not. They're merely detention areas. So I just wanted to point that out. If you read over, you have any questions, let me know. But I'm working on it, and I should have it handled by tomorrow morning. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Excuse me. So we are up to the adoption of an ordinance and a public hearing.
Resolution.
Looking at them. Yep, it jumped. Okay, we're up to resolutions. The first one on the docket is a resolution authorizing an agreement to mow the path at Braze Hill, Block 30, Lot 19. As I said before, this gentleman, Dave Rubin, has been doing this for quite some time, and this merely ensures that he has insurance and sets forth a service agreement.
This is which one now?
This is
Boyd is first.
Boyd is first.
All right, I can do Boyd first. All right, it's a resolution authorizing an agreement to mow the path at Hackett's Preserve, Block 63, Lot 2. The good Mr. Glenn Boyd. The aforementioned comments are the same. He also had obtained insurance, and we have a very similar service agreement with him. Any discussion or questions?
Motion.
I'll second.
Ms. Wheatley?
Yes.
Mr. Kuchnowski?
I'll abstain.
Councilman Ulay?
Yes, sir.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. All right, now we'll come back to a resolution authorizing an agreement to mow the path at Braze Hill, Block 30, Lot 19. Same as before. Mr. Rupert's been doing it for a good number of years informally, and this formalizes it.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilman Swilling?
Yes.
Mr. Kuchnowski?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. The last resolution is rejecting a bid for contract number 1-18, Stanton Mountain Road Improvements, Phase 2. Came in too high. How much too high?
A couple hundred.
And I saw it was the only bid, which I was more surprised by than the fact that it came in too
late. It's late in the year. Everybody's busy. So they probably threw it out there to see if they could get lucky. But it was more than $200,000. So
prior to them bidding, did they get our engineer's estimate?
No.
And we have some experience on that road already with bids from last year, so it should not be that different from
our estimate. Should be very accurate.
Can that same company rebid now once we reject it?
When we bid again, sure.
Yeah.
When do you think you'll want to go back out to bid?
January. It's too late now. So we'll get it early when everybody's looking for work. The problem now is everybody's busy. Mm-hmm. They're all working, so I'm going to throw it out there. If we get lucky, we'll pick up an extra couple hundred thousand. Or we get early when they're before they have their year plan next year, we should get more and better bids. So that'll be, the money's available, so it's just a matter of getting it out there in January and going forward.
Yeah, we are hung up with
the state.
DOT had to approve it.
How many bids did we get for the last round, for the last phase of the first phase? A couple or three, at least.
I thought it was five, yeah.
I remember at least three, yeah.
All right, I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Ms. Woodley?
Yes.
Mr. Kochanowski?
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Council President Tiernan?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes. All right. So now we're up to the adoption of an ordinance. I'll read it by title. An ordinance of the Township of Clinton creating a new Chapter 261 of the Code of the Township of Clinton, titled Vacant Abandoned Property, Registration, and Maintenance. Before we, do we open a public hearing first, or do we take council comments first?
Need the comments, then
open
the public hearing.
Yeah, you can take it, right.
Any comments from council, concerns about it?
Not at the moment.
But when I see this, I think of the Concord Drive property.
You and me both.
That's what comes to my mind. So,
yeah, there's another
it's
one.
It's pretty important that issue gets taken care of, and something like this might help.
Yeah, I agree.
I met with Tom a couple times going over our game plan, how do we implement this with, notices and, how he's going to track everything, because they're all not all at the same time. So it's going to be a timeline with times and dates and penalties and all that stuff. So we met twice, and he's ready to go. He'll be ready to go when we get it adopted. An initial letter to all the properties, and here's where we are, and here's what you've got to do. So it'll keep him busy. Keep us all busy for a while.
At least.
Do we know how many properties come under this?
No. It's up your head, 10 or 12, I can think of, easily.
Yeah, if you open up, Carlo's got a drawer full of foreclosures and, problematic properties. Some of the foreclosures are passed, but there's a good number of them.
It seems fairly specific, but I'd be interested to hear public comment.
All right. Let's open the public hearing. Mr. Yeager, I think you're the public.
Thank you. Can I take a seat?
Please, sir.
Certainly.
Thank you. Okay. I've only got four pages here of comments, but no. Tom Yeager, resident of Clinton Township, and also have a property on Ray Rock Road. This ordinance vacate the abandoned property registration and maintenance, ordinance number 1116-18. First of all, I'm in favor of it, just to let you know. But I have comments and questions about the content. Currently, the Municipal Code General Legislation Part 2 includes Chapter 75, which includes brush, weed, trash, and grass cutting requirements. Chapter 82 is buildings being unsafe. In particular, I'll let you bring to your attention, Section 82-4 includes statement that after 30 days notice, the township has the power to remove or order destruction of a structure. That's in the ordinance, unless I'm reading it wrong. Chapter 242, structures for vacant structures. Basically, it requires the sealing of doorways, doors, whatever, so someone doesn't enter or make an unsafe or vacant building. Now, I know this particular ordinance was proposed applies to the whole township. I agree. I can think of maybe four buildings, and obviously there's a heck of a lot more within the township. So I know this applies to the whole township, but I have some personal knowledge about Gray Rock Road, famous building on the corner, Gray Rock and Center. Yeah. And just to let you know, and maybe you know this as well, Block 7701, Lot 3, which is the corner lot, has two buildings on it. Mm-hmm. The old wooden building, which is very, very, very sad shape, and then the red brick building. Uh,
according to the latest tax information I heard from the tax collector, was the taxes had been paid to date on that lot by a tax lien holder. Now, the owner of the property is listed as a care of MD SAS, S-A-S-S, of C. Weber Green Properties, LLC, Avenue Americas in New York.
It's a Wall Street investment company that this is one of their investment lines. And normally, former owner was expected to buy it back, which is a pattern that that individual has shown over the years.
Right.
And these fellas, Glenn Fishman is one of the principals, and I've chatted with him several times. Not recently, but when they acquired it, and they were somewhat amused that they're financial guys, they're not developers, and they were sort of stuck with this thing and didn't quite know what to do with it. It's the way I translated our conversation. Go ahead.
There's also a significant number of other lien holders on this property. The addresses I don't know. Just as a side note, too, CTSA is owed over $3,000 in past fees. Their current record owner is Gray Rock Associates in Morristown, New Jersey. Just to throw one other thing into, a year ago I ordered a title search for that property. I was trying to get a hold of somebody to say, hey, let's cooperate, let's get this cleaned up, and how can we do this? The attorney that I hired, as well as a title holder, they had a little burp, said, good luck. You know, it's gone back and forth, and tax sales and foreclosures, et cetera. I'll make that title search available to anybody. If Tom, still the zoning officer, wants to look at it, it's up to him. It seems like there's a name, such as you said, Mary, that located in Avenue Americas that might know something about this, but I just am not sure how this is all going to go. As you said, Mr. Landon, Tom Silva's going to have a hell of a job, I think, when it comes to this. And he may have a bigger job when it comes to some of the others if you condense them all. But this is pretty significant to try to undertake. But hopefully, I'm going back to Section 82-4 after 30 days. Notice whoever owns, go blow the buildings up down, you know. And, practice the SWAT teams or something in there.
Declared unsafe.
Pardon me?
They have to be declared unsafe.
Oh.
Have the right to demolish.
And well, you know,
we've never had one declared unsafe.
You've never had one declared. Well, I think if you can get notice to someone and try to do a inspection, especially the wooden structure, I don't think it would take very long to figure out what's being unsafe or not. Not only the looks of the exterior, well, I'm getting out of my line here, but let me go back here. Ordinance section, this is the new ordinance now, section 261-2.8 should include, I'm saying instead of a single structure, should include multiple structures. This may apply to other lots, properties that you're talking about that might need work. Mainly because you have the old building and you have the brick building. That's all on one lot. Mm-hmm. The ordinance right now proposed says structure. I think it should be structures.
I'm sorry, this was 2.8, you said?
That's 82, which, I'm sorry.
261.
Oh, the new one?
The new one.
Is 2.A.
2.A. So each property having a separate problem.
It needs to be reworded, but structures, I mean, you could have one structure that's safe. And one that's not safe.
I agree.
So it has to be worded properly.
Yeah, and
not
A,
both of them down
A doesn't once. Reference a structure, it references the property.
Where does it say structure, though?
It says file a registration for each vacant.
I'm saying if it doesn't, someplace in that ordinance it should say structures.
It is.
I would say definition.
I think, if Mayor, if I might, I think
please.
That the definition of vacant property attempts to cover that. It says any building used or to be used for residential or non-residential purposes, which is not legally occupied.
is, you know, that's what that's considered abandoned property. That's the definition in the first section, the definition section, which is why 2A refers to a property.
Okay.
Because that definition would then mean a single vacant structure.
But, again, two structures.
Well, if there are two structures, if one is vacant and abandoned pursuant to the definition, it would apply to that. If there are two structures and they're both vacant and abandoned, it would apply to both.
I think in the definition it says any building. So right. It's not limited
to
one.
All right.
I think it's okay.
I think the use of property, like you said, just covers anything.
Covers everything.
As long as there could be the understanding that could be more than one. Or
absolutely.
Multiple. Only because what I'm getting after, let's call building number one, the old wooden structure on that corner, I think should be approached first, possibly removed or raised or do whatever, mainly because of a lot of safety and health issues. I don't know if y'all know it, but there's an open 15-foot deep well. I'm going to say 15 to 20-foot deep. No cover on it whatsoever. I looked at it today. There's no water in it, but there's beer cans and soda cans, and someone walks around the outside edge of it. It's covered by the weeds and everything. Someone, child or whatever, could very easily walk up to this. Now, I've talked to Tom DeSilva in the past about the trash, the brush, and everything else. And in fairness to Tom, he's had difficulties as well. I can't find an owner. I've got emails to that effect from Tom. And maybe we're closer to finding this out. And with this ordinance, I sure as heck hope that we're going to have some meat on the table here to put somebody in line.
You know, most of the properties, this Larry Berger's an exception to almost every rule you can think of. He's at the bottom of this particular piece of property, which is why there's so many ins and outs, ups and downs, and everything else. But there's live people that have got their names, addresses, and emails. So I can certainly give Tom the information to the folks at MDSAS, which is a respectable, kind of a Wall Street investment firm. This tax lien business is just a side, a funky little piece of their business, not the mainstream. Most of the homes, there's one on Hermantau. It's just been neglected for a number of years by the bank during the foreclosure process, which I vaguely understand in New Jersey. It's very tedious. It takes forever. And there's holes. The wood's rotted through. You can see into the garage through the rotted siding, for instance. Not to mention all the stuff that's been hit with tree branches and whatnot. It seems to take several years before a real estate sign goes up. You know, our tax assessor tries to explain this process to me, but it's very tedious. So at least once the ownership is conveyed, even if it's not ready for sale for some legal reason, you know, we can start pinging on people. And, you know, sometimes when you have to write a check to a township, you accelerate the process a little bit. I think that's really the hope here.
Well, I understand that's where this is coming from, and maybe get someone's attention, you know, give them a little rap, and this may happen. But in the meantime, before this happens, you've got safety situation there.
Yeah, I mean, that or, you know, you're saying the safety issues of that house. And the Concord has literally, it's cut.
Both ends are off.
You can basically, from the outside, walk up the stairs to the second floor. How is that safe? Any kid could go up that stairwell, and it's rotted.
That, I think, again, you know, we are building code fellows, the gentleman that is responsible for those kinds of declarations, and at least in my opinion, look at the Ercolano thing on Route 22.
Oh, yeah.
That's had a fence around it. That's quite a bit. And I think we ought to force the owner. The owner's been dragging us out. He's as skilled as this is Larry Berger, I think. And please don't put the names in the paper. But, you know, he removes the chimney before it falls off. Then he seals up some big holes in the back of the property that the critters are going in and out of. Then we forced him to bush hog, the brush hog place, Virginia Basin bush hog. Then he applied for and actually put some foundation work in. But there it sits. Two ends open to the to the outdoors. And like you said, it's a stair going up to the second floor, so I think unless...
Mike's been great trying to keep on that. He's been doing a really good job, but it's just like it's time.
It's probably time to force the guy to fence it off because it is open. The foundation is open to the outside. You know, sooner or later, some child's going to bumble into it.
The house would have been better off without with the trees in front of it. Mm-hmm. Because at least the residents have to see it. Now they have the trees gone and a half-demolished house.
Unbelievable.
So I think to Mr. Yeager's point, this,
sorry.
That's all right.
No, no, no.
I think there are a number of problem properties in the township, and this is a good first step trying to address those. And it may not be the cure-all, but I think it'll get things going, and I think it also sets a good balance with individual property rights. So I think it's a good start.
Well, I appreciate that, and also the fact, not only to mention the well, but also just the driving, the sight distances on that corner, again, coming out, it's kind of an uneven grade, the intersection. I don't know if the police department's ever had problems there or not, but sight lines, just by cutting back brush and everything, which, again, one of the prior ordinances we have, we can do that. I know the Department of Public Works can go and address that, but then put a lien or charge against the owner, but here you go again. Who or how are you going to find these owners? I understand the frustration here, but, you know, the road is half torn up right. Gray Rock is half torn up right now because of nice new development that's going to go in, and they're going to have a prettier view, nicer view than I do of that building across the street right now. That's a sad state of affairs for this to be.
And it's a good commercial location, too.
So it's good, you know, and I know it's in a redevelopment zone, and there's some tax incentives and things like that. I just don't understand why someone doesn't get onto it. I did, in fact, write a letter to Sass and Company, or whatever the company's name is in New York. Nothing, no return. Call me here, email, no return. So I don't, I'm only little guys compared to maybe a zoning officer or somebody, but I think you're right, Brian, that someone's going to be... Yeah. Putting some fines up, and this isn't passed yet, so maybe this will be a plus. But let me ask one last question. Ordinance 261.2b states a responsible party must have an office or residence in New Jersey. The owner and lien holders, as far as I know, for out of state are out of state. Who will be responsible?
I think the intent is they will have to designate someone. Mm-hmm. Who is reachable in the state of New Jersey to take care of correspondence and to manage the property so that the township has a contact mm-hmm. who can be responsive to concerns raised by the township for this ordinance. Correct me if I misstated anything.
Nope, that's exactly right.
Okay. All right. So some way there will be a contact name, office, whatever.
Right. This way, if the owner is in Alaska and...
Or as far as New York City.
Or as far as New York City.
Be able to get a hold of them. Okay. So after 30 days, after the owner has been notified, lien holders, whatever, after 30 days, what happens? I mean, by the ordinance right now, anything? Or they just sent another notice to register, and the fines just keep on adding up? Is that what it amounts to?
Eventually put a tax lien on it.
Yeah.
We could eventually own the property, and then we can do what we want with it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nothing by removing the building, 82.4? Not yet?
Demolishing
that's a
private property is a whole different can of worms.
We'd have to take ownership first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Condemnation? Is that the route you might take?
There were some properties on Route 31 North up toward Glen Gardner, and they were in the courts for years before they were finally demolished by the town. It's an expensive, mm-hmm. difficult process, as I understand. You know, I used to read it in the Democrat all the time, step by step, year after year.
Yeah,
and they were even in the floodplain, too. Yeah. That was all kinds of issues.
They were kind of...
Falling over.
Yeah, and I think our ultimate goal is not to acquire new property or new headache, but
get them cleaned
to
up.
Achieve,
and safe.
Positive.
You said that was in Hampton?
It was Glen Gardner.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the caller's not here, but mm-hmm. I got a copy of this very similar from Hampton. I thought they were the first ones to do this.
No, there's more than one.
Highbridge as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty much the same. We've altered it just slightly from what they have.
A lot of towns have this.
Yeah, a lot of towns have.
A lot of towns have ordinances like this.
Yeah, so at least we can bounce back with them, see how they're doing.
Yeah, this has been something since 2007 and 8, you know, just the problem sort of burgeoned. Every year down at the league meeting in Atlantic City in that area, you have seminars in terms of how to write these ordinances.
Well, I appreciate what can be done. I did say up front I was in favor of this, and hopefully it'll get someone's attention. Hopefully we get through to the owners, leaseholders, whoever this is, and get their attention to it. It's the prime piece, I would think, and with the building going up across the street, and the neighborhood should improve if this improves. As far, again, the safety goes, maybe someone can do something about that well. That's not a good situation. And then also a site triangle, clearing out the brush, at least at the intersection. That might improve things as well. So, in favor, I would hope that this gets approved, and hopefully someone gets someone's attention, put it that way.
Thank you for bringing that particular issue to our
attention. Yeah, it's been there that a long time. I'm just happy nothing has happened so far.
It's got to be, 20 years?
Pardon me?
It's got to be 15 or 20 years.
At least 15 years, I think. I think ever since Caldwell Banker moved out of that one building. And again, not to drag us on, but the old wooden structure, I would say, well, you already know what I feel about that. But the brick building, it may be salvageable. It's not a bad-looking building, but I don't know what's inside. That's where the zoning officer is going to have to do inspection. So.
I'm going to revise that. I'm going to say that's 20 years.
20 years, you think, Chief? Yeah. Okay.
All right, thank
Mike,
you, John.
I'll be here for the public comment second.
All right. I think I don't believe we have any more comments from the public, so we'll close the public hearing, and do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Ms. Whitley?
Yes.
Mr. Gochanowski?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And now we got to pay the bills. $516,000.
Going to vote to adopt?
Oh, yeah, you got to vote to adopt.
Vote to adopt?
Yeah.
Oh, it's... That was the close of the public
hearing. Now you got to vote to adopt. So.
Excuse me. I'll get this process. No, I won't.
Ms. Whitley, can you motion?
Yes.
I'll second it.
Mr. Gochanowski? Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Ms. Whitley and Mr. Mayor Higgins?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Now we can pay the bills. $516,454.10.
Motion.
Second.
Council President?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes.
Councilman Mayor Mr. Malay?
Yes.
Mr. Kochanowski?
Yes.
All right.
Let's go in that order.
Okay, we are up to the second.
Trying to mix it up a little. You know?
Yeah.
That's why we don't have this going on.
Keep them on their toes.
I always get a framing. I like it that way.
We're up to the second public comment period. I understand somebody from the public has some comments.
Why'd you move back?
Hey, what's your number?
Oh, gosh.
Okay. You guys were lonely here tonight. So.
It is nice to get feedback on these things, especially ordinances. You don't get enough. We don't get enough of it.
Especially
that was a very good conversation.
Yeah, especially from a nice person like you.
Okay, wait till I have...
And an engineer.
Wait, what do I have to say now? You burn my bridges now. Good evening. Tom Yeager again. I haven't moved yet. So, anyway, I know you all been busy with the budget, the mandated COVID requirements, passage of new $1.3 million road bond issue, and all of which I appreciate. A lot of work went into it. And I did read all the COA, I shouldn't say all, but quite a bit of the COA proposals and everything. Rather interesting. I wish everybody in the township knew a little bit more about it. Y'all did a lot of work on there. But now I want to speak about the five-year road repaving plan. I visited the Public Works portion of the website and find out that there's a new road plan, five-year plan, being developed. I don't know what the status is, but in the past, here I go again, Ray Rock Road Fairview and Fulper was on that list. It's been on that list, the road plan, repaving plan, for about 10 years, if not more. And I can go on, or I guess I can ask the question and I'll stop, depending upon the right answer. Are these particular roads, the three roads I just mentioned, Gray Rock and Fulper and Fairview, scheduled to be paved soon as part of the 2018-19 schedule?
2018.
Not on 18.
It's not in 2018. It's not part of this bond issue.
And we no longer have a five-year road plan.
But we do have roads in mind for future paving, and this one, I believe, if I recall correctly, had been put off specifically because of the construction that was occurring.
And water.
Occurring.
Something about water lines?
Yeah, they've torn the roads up. That part of Gray Rock is really abominable. I mean, without a doubt.
I know.
It's pretty bad.
Last year was on the list for 18. It was taken off. The discussion that we had was because the contractor that's doing the work, the construction work there, as part of their permit, what was discussed is to repair half of that road. So the discussion we had, that was a year and a half ago, was that until that work is completed, that it wouldn't be put back on the list.
Do we have an idea when that road work is going to be done?
No, I have no idea.
You mean by the developer?
By the developer, yeah.
Well, I don't know the schedule. I think you'd have to talk to your engineer, Marcelli, and get a little bit better of a handle on that. That's all the drainage is in so far on the road.
It's certainly on the radar, I would think, and high on DPW's recommendation list. And I think it's really a matter of fitting it in financially and making sure that that development work is complete before we go ahead and do it. I wouldn't guarantee it'll be in next year. But I think in the next couple, you probably want to get that done.
Well, I'm sure that road is going to be, by the developer, is going to be done within this year's time.
Okay. Well, then it's something that we can look at when we do the January budget. And
pardon me?
Is it going to be done this year's time?
I would say with the road, with the improvements and everything. I don't see how the engineer's office, during their inspections, are going to leave the potholes and the road crossings and all the side road shoulders that they've been tearing apart, you know, at least have some type of an improvement to it. Now, when I say done, they probably won't have sidewalks or anything, but I'm sure the road surface would be pretty well done. I'm just looking at the fact I've owned that building. I've owned property on Gray Rock for over 30 years. There has not been any road improvements done on that road. There's a water line about 6 years ago installed. I have to thank the Department of Public Works. Whenever I do ask to come and excavate or grade the ditch, at least keep the water on that side of the road, or at least use the proper pipes instead of flushing across the road. Again, going back to our problem properties over there, prior to them installing drainage, a lot of the water came down Fairview as well as Center Street and washed across the road over to where these two buildings are. And it creates a water ponding situation. And you do have bugs and mosquitoes and things like that. So it dries up, then it's moist again. There's no drainage. And so that's part of the health issue as well on that property.
I think it's just plain been delayed. The doctor's insight, as you know, we have several highly litigious folks in our township. And that the lawsuits that ensued before construction began added at least 2 years to the site.
Oh, at least three, close to three, Mayor. I would agree. It took that long.
I actually sat through the hearings.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the construction project on the school. So, you know, as Brian said, we really couldn't do anything until those were out of the way.
And I think this will be something that we'll make sure we touch on in the budget discussion next year, January timeframe when we start, maybe even December when we start doing an analysis of, all right, what are we going to do, capital plan.
Okay, well, it will say, in the meantime, what happens, maybe if the Department of Public Works can come up with a little bit of budget for some patch pot work, or what do you call it, patching the potholes or whatever, to smooth it out a little bit. If we can't do complete repaving, because it is pretty atrocious, that road is bad.
We're buying a new machine that will help us patch the potholes better.
Okay. When are we expected to get
We just started ordering stuff. We just passed the budget.
Yeah, right.
So.
And I'd probably have to sit a couple of weeks before we can do this.
So.
Is it the road going to be paved for construction?
I'm sorry, sir.
Should be.
Is that going to be paved at the construction? It's taking a beating right now.
Yes, and I agree with you. That's why I said I would think the road portion at least should be repaired, but part of the agreement or part of the approval for a site plan approval probably only have them fixing a half of the road.
Or that portion which they disturbed.
Or that portion. So the other half, we'll say the eastern half of the road, may stay as it is other than patches that they created or cuts that they created they may have to patch over. So those other rough areas on the other half is where I'm asking for some pavement patch or something over there. And it's bad.
Between the Meggles and the Goddards.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I've been there for over 30 years, has many improvements. I'm looking at all the taxes I've paid, just the municipality, forget about the school, just me alone. And you talk about Finagles, you talk about Goddard, Ray Drake when he was still there, that office, and also the residents of Fairview. Their road isn't much better when you come down that. So there's a lot of taxes going to support.
There's a lot of roads in poor condition. So.
Pardon me?
There's a lot of other roads in
poor condition. Well, I know. I know, Mayor, and I appreciate the problem.
I think you understand we'll look at it in the fall when the new budget's been prepared. And we're trying to not put out a very long-term plan at this point, because then people get upset when we have a bad winter and one road gets worse than the other one and priorities change. So we
don't want to make a commitment.
Yeah, well, I can understand. One other question. Did I hear that you do not have a five-year plan now?
Correct.
So that's done away with.
We have a list of, I think it's fair to say, we have a list of roads that the administrator and DPW and an engineer have prioritized. And to the extent that we have money available in the budget, including the capital plan, we will address those roads as we can fit them in. And it's a process that will occur every year. And this year when we did it, there were a number of roads which would not fit in this year. And those we'll look at to do next year and the year following.
Okay.
And if my memory serves, I think Gray Rock was one of those. I could be wrong.
I think
wrong.
It's on there, but I can't say when.
Right. So,
but I think it was pending other work.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we really didn't want to do the work and then have them tear the road up.
I understand it, and you know, I think a lot of people have been
in Annandale with the construction that we expect to.
Yeah, a lot of people have been patient on it, but the only thing I might say, the Department of Public Works, they do note that there's a 5-year plan that's being redone or reestablished. So might want to look on the website.
On the website.
I thought we took it off already. Yeah, I thought we took it off.
But there might be a reference on the page.
Okay. I'll check.
Yeah, yeah. The list may be gone, but it's being reworked or something
that. The spreadsheet got controversial because
I understand.
The weather, as roads deteriorated at different rates, you know, we had to reshuffle it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here, because of what it said. I'm looking for a 5-year plan. So, what, in fall? When should I come back with my mob from my posse?
Come back in 2 weeks.
No, you won't have the budget ready for the post.
Well, thank you
very much.
Thanks,
guys.
Yep. All right. Thank
appreciate
you.
It. Have a good night. Have a nice 4th of July.
We're up to that point in the evening, Mr. Kochanowski.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Vouchers? Do we do vouchers?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
So we have a motion from Mr. Kochanowski.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
It's off now.